Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast. It's the 3rd of November, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank. The podcast brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. They're online, ffbt.com, to learn more. CJ Miller and Greg Allen check in with news today, including more details on importing beef from the Ag Secretary and what farmers talked with Secretary Rollins about during her farm visit near Lebanon last week. The Indiana Farm Forecast with Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin includes a nice start to the week, continued warm and dry weather, and corn, bean, and wheat futures, more gains on Friday. Brian Basting with the market analysis coming up on the Hat Monday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
There's something to be said about being early. You get a better place in line, maybe a better seat at the table, and sometimes being early will save you money. Like when you order seed early from Seed Genetics Direct. Place your order for the next growing season with Seed Genetics Direct by November 10th, and you'll save $10 per unit on corn and $2 per unit on soybeans. It's time to leave the nest, early birds, and visit SeedGeneticsDirect.com to order. Value, knowledge, performance, it's in their genetics. Seed Genetics Direct.
More insight into the Argentina beef plan and bridging Washington and the heartland. A hands-on day with the Secretary of Agriculture. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Greg Allen. The plan by President Trump to import more beef from Argentina to lower beef prices here in the U.S. is getting the thumbs down by many American cattle producers. C.J. Miller reports how U.S. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins has provided more insight into the president's plan.
What the president was talking about was nothing much different from what we have done for a really long time.
And that was Secretary Rollins on Thursday during a press conference held at the National FFA Convention in Indianapolis. She says the U.S. currently imports about 2 million metric tons of beef each year, which is about 17% of all the beef that's consumed in the U.S.
So the idea, and most of that is imported to mix in for ground beef, sort of the lower cost beef for those who can't afford a $30 steak. Currently, we import about 20,000 metric tons from Argentina, so a very small amount. The president was talking about going to 40 or 60 or 80,000 metric tons, even a small amount of the 2 million we already import. When you put that up against the fact that we have closed the ports, we have no crossing of live cattle in the last almost 6 or so months, the tariffs, the 50% tariffs on Brazil. So what the president was talking about in terms of Argentina doesn't even make up for what we haven't gotten across in the last few months.
Rollins adds that the Trump administration has also released a plan to rebuild U.S. cattle herds and support America's beef producers.
We're opening up 5 million acres of Forest Service land, USDA land, and interior land for very low-cost lease for our ranchers to have an additional opportunity to build their herds. We are putting a ton of money into smaller processing plants around the country, more competition from the processors, and that's really important. USDA is going to be launching a $100 million ad campaign in January. Buy American beef, product of the USA.
You can hear much more of Secretary Rollins' comments and read the full story. It's at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller.
Tyler Everett is a farmer in Lebanon who serves as the treasurer of the Indiana Corn Growers Association. On Thursday, Everett got a very special visit from U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins. Everett had the honor of hosting a gathering of farmers and Indiana ag industry leaders at his farm, where they were able to speak candidly with the secretary.
All the farmers definitely 110% want year-round E15. That's a no-brainer. And to make sure that our government is not pushing back on corn products that we're trying to raise and sell locally.
Everett said other issues were raised as well.
They also brought up concerns for input prices and commodity prices correlating, because we all know that fertilizer hasn't changed in 40 years, but seed and yields have, and the uses that are being used for corn and soy are forever changing.
Everett even got the privilege of teaching Secretary Rollins how to drive a combine.
She claims she's just like the rest of us, but I wanted to make sure that she was an honored guest of ours, and it was very special to have her ride the combine with us. And it was she said it was a dream come true for her to ride and drive a combine. So I gave her the crash course and how to drive a $500,000 piece of machinery very quickly. So she caught on like a pro. So she did a very good job helping the Everett family finish up our corn crop.
All in all, a very beneficial visit with the Secretary of Agriculture. Find more on this story at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Greg Allen.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit MidAmerica see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
Now on the Hat Podcast, Ryan Martin's Indiana Farm Forecast, brought to you by the Indiana Ag Nutrient Alliance.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Looking at a pretty nice start to the work week here across the Hoosier State, but we are going to be watching as a system passes by just a bit to our north today. Low pressure moving over the northern part of Lake Superior and right on through Ontario over the course of the next 12 hours or so. And that's going to drag cloud cover easily across Michigan. Rain showers over the northern half of Michigan. I do think a little bit of that cloud cover sneaks down into northern tier counties of Indiana. Do I think it brings precipitation? Absolutely not. I think clouds give way to sunshine in the north, and we see partly to mostly sunny skies in the south for the day today. We are warmer and dry then through tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday. Good southwest flow in here. A warm frontal boundary passing by to our north. We're going to be looking at beautiful weather over the next 4 days, even seeing high pressure being analyzed in over the central to western corn belt Wednesday, Thursday. Getting into late week, this is where our changes are starting to come. Frontal boundary sets up just after midnight Thursday night to our northwest, passes through the Hoosier State on Friday. Right now, I think everybody's got a chance at seeing anywhere from a tenth to three quarters of an inch, so coverage 100% of the Hoosier State. It should be done by Saturday early morning, though, and the rest of Saturday just features a mix of clouds and sunshine. Secondary surge of moisture may come through overnight Saturday night into early Sunday. This one is much lighter and also sees much less coverage, probably only 40% with a few hundredths to a few tenths. But what this secondary surge does is open the door to much colder air. Temperatures drop into the low 30s for highs back to our neighbors in the northwest over North Dakota and northern parts of Minnesota. We're not looking at the same kind of temperatures here, but that same air mass is moving southeastward. So mostly seeing a big reset in temperatures for Sunday afternoon through Monday and Tuesday. I know in my garden, not everything has been hit by frost yet. There's some things that are looking pretty good. Hey, it's coming Sunday night into Monday, Tuesday. This is going to be the hard freeze if you haven't gotten one yet. Yeah, this is the one that's going to come through. We're also seeing some strong winds come down the fetch of the Great Lakes to start next week. So clouds in Monday and Tuesday. Might even see a little bit of lake effect precipitation in northwest Indiana. But this cold air only lingers for about 2.5 days. By the time we get to early Wednesday morning, warmer air is back, and we are well above normal for the rest of next week on into the weekend of the 15th and 16th. While we surge above normal, watch late next week for a monster low to come out of the Four Corners area and into the Great Plains. This is going to be a massive storm complex that will throw rain towards us overnight next Sunday night, the 16th, into the start of the week of the 17th. Good rains there, and I do think that low, again, is able to draw down some much colder air later on that week. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Have a great rest of your day. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
As harvest winds down, it's decision time in farm country. Indiana Ag Nutrient Alliance is here to help Indiana farmers make smart, timely choices about nutrient management. Because viable farms, healthy soil, and clean water start with informed decisions based on vetted practices. Backed by Indiana's commodity groups as well as conservation and ag industry leaders, IANA is rooted in empowering farmers to improve nutrient use efficiency, enhance soil health, and protect water quality to drive farm success and protect our natural resources.
Now on the Hat Podcast, the market reviews. We check what happened on Friday at the close. Everything was up, if only just a bit in the case of corn. After a slow start, we'll have the final settlements coming up. We begin, though, with market analysis. I grabbed that in the middle of the session from Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. Lower markets to open the session on Friday, Brian, but then some back and forth trade with corn, beans, and wheat all going a little higher and seesawing just a bit. Overall, though, how would you assess the week from market movement perspective?
Thanks for having me, Andy. There's no question that the soybean market was a leader this week. And obviously, as you highlighted there briefly, the China news that they will return and purchase U.S. soybeans for this 25-26 crop year, as well as the next 3 years, really ignited the market. We looked at the nearby soybean futures this week, Andy, touching $11 in that November contract, which is still the nearby contract. You have to go all the way back to late July of 2024 to see $11 for a nearby soybean contract. So that's 15 months. So there's no question that the bean market, which has been in the sideways trading range of about $1.40 here for the last, like I said, 15 months, we broke out of that. We'll see if that can sustain momentum here. That'll be contingent on, of course, whether or not those sales are actually made, liftings are actually take place to China. Then we'll start to look at the final bean yields here in the U.S. Then we'll turn our attention to South America. But the bean market was a leader. Corn did break out to the upside a bit, but it's trailing, no doubt about it, being its leader. You look at corn, did make the highest price since July 3rd, Andy, at about 437 earlier this week in the December contract. Again, July 3rd, right at pollination, was the highest level that we'd seen since this week. And wheat market's kind of tagging along, but definitely some interest there led by the soybean market this week.
The soybean sales numbers to China that are being talked about coming out of the talks, those numbers that you're hearing, would they be sufficient enough?
The math that we did, Andy, was to look at the balance sheet the USDA gave us back in September with a forecast of exports for the year for this 25-26 crop year of 1.685 billion bushels. Our bias is that if China does reach that 12 million ton goal that they talked about, I believe it was between now and January, early 26, regardless, that the pace that we've seen to other destinations, and if those amount of liftings took place, not necessarily by January 31st, but sales on the books for deferred delivery, if we reach 12 million tons, we would reach, we're close to 1.7 billion bushels. So if that's the case, Andy, then the balance sheet for beans for us comes down to two things. That would leave us at about a 300 million bushel carryout if the yield is 53.5 on U.S. beans. So that's the first thing we're looking at. Will that yield reach that level, exceed that level, or will it fall short? And then we'll look at South America. But the market was expecting generally in that 10 to 12 million ton range was the kind of the scuttlebutt that was heard prior to the announcement. I'm not sure the 25 million tons for the next 3 years was being talked about too much, but regardless, yes, I think it was pretty close to what the market was expecting, but just enough to get the commodity funds excited here and build some weather premium in for South America.
And do you have any clue what the timing of actual purchases might be? That's maybe a stretch, but are you hearing some things there?
I am hearing some things. There will be heavily nearby weighted, for lack of a better phrase, as Brazil supplies begin to wind down here, as the calendar year winds down, that China would turn to the U.S. for some needs here in December, maybe in November, definitely December and January. Now it becomes a little more uncertain moving past that. They could spread out some sales throughout the remainder of the crop year. Typically, China will resume purchasing from Brazil and lifting from Brazil March 1st onward. We typically see very little beans shipped from the U.S. in a quote-unquote normal year. from that point. So it's hard to say, but I think that they will be front end loaded as such when we move into the second quarter of the crop year, which will start December 1. But I guess it wouldn't shock me to see some beans lifted here in November to China, but I think the heavier amounts will be in December and January.
Now back to the farmer who is harvesting corn and soybeans, most largely finished with soybeans. What decisions should be considered here in the very near term?
The biggest decision I would advise your listeners, Andy, is to get control of this bean crop. By that, I mean place a floor underneath the market, leave the upside open. You can do that either by selling the beans and purchasing a call option, or putting the beans and purchasing a put option. Those are some things that you may want to consider. But regardless, get control of these bushels. We've had a nice rally. We don't know what the future is going to hold now in South America.
Brian Basting, Advanced Trading, with his market analysis. Get him at 309-664-2314. Now the Friday settlements up a penny and a quarter on December corn, 431 and a half. March, 444, up a quarter, and May unchanged at 452 and a quarter. Another solid day in the bean market. November now, 10.99 and three quarters, up 8.5. January up 7.5 on Friday, 11.15 and a quarter. And December wheat, 5.34, up 9.75. December live cattle, 229.67, down $1.42. December lean hogs, 81.27, a gain of 45 cents. And that wraps up the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast. Thanks for joining us. I'm Andy Eubank on behalf of Eric Pfeiffer, CJ Miller, Greg Allen, and Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.